Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Yesterday was Election Day. Voters in Charlotte chose city council members and the mayor. Throughout Mecklenburg County, school board seats were up for grabs, and voters decided on the quarter-cent sales tax increase. Later in the program, we hear from Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles, but we start with a recap of the election results with WFAE's political reporter Steve Harrison and our education reporter Ann Doss Helms. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, this was an off-year election. Turnout was expected to be relatively low. Early voting ended on Friday, and I think at that time there were 28,916 ballots cast, which trailed 2017's count in that off-year election. What was the final count? Do we know how many people voted?
17%, which is, like you said, lower than 2 years ago for the same election. But at the same time, in 2015, turnout was even lower at 15%. That was when the headline race was Jennifer Roberts defeated Edwin Peacock for Charlotte mayor. So not great, but not terrible either.
So can we take anything from the uptick from 15 to 17%?
You know, I do think probably the arts tax was a big driver. I mean, because in terms of the city of Charlotte, there was really no mayor's race. Yeah. And so I think, you know, getting a few more people out, it was all probably about the arts tax.
He says there's no mayor's race because she kind of ran unopposed. We'll talk. She had opposition, but not really. We'll talk about that in a second. We had the mayor's race. We had 11 city council seats up for grabs in Charlotte. Voters chose three at-large members of the school board from 13 candidates running. And, of course, that sales tax referendum. How does that compare with what voters met when they went to the ballots in 2017 and 2015? Were there more races, more decisions to be made here, or is this about average?
I think it's about average. The school board alternates, so 2 years ago it was the district races, so it was a little easier for voters because you only had to vote in one of them, and you might have two or three, or if it was really a big one, four candidates, as opposed to everybody's voting on the 13.
And I think one thing about the city of Charlotte, kind of each year that goes by, the significance of the general election in November goes down because it's an increasingly Democratic city. And so almost everything gets decided
in the primary
in September.
So it could be argued, I think it's unquestionably, that the biggest issue on the ballot was the decision facing voters about what to do about that quarter cent sales tax for arts, parks, greenways, and the education, and also a little bit of money was going to be set aside for arts and parks in the individual towns surrounding Charlotte. A lot of money was spent advertising this, particularly from the pro side, around $1 million.
That's right. They're going to raise, the final numbers aren't there, but at least $1 million. And, you know, I think we all saw it was on TV, in your mailbox, social media. There was a big push, and I think On the pro tax side, obviously you're disappointed it did not pass. But I think, you know, on top of that is that 5 years ago we had to vote on a quarter cent sales tax. It lost. 61% of people opposed it. This time there was a really big push. Like you said, all that money spent, and they really moved the needle only a little bit. 57.4% still opposed it. So if you're kind of thinking about trying this again, I think you have to think, what could we do different?
Those against spent, I think, about $25,000. So what could we take from this?
I think less than that.
Was the $1 million wasted? Because one of the arguments was, and it's kind of a false argument, that you could have taken that $1 million, and if you really believed in the arts, you could have given that money to the Arts and Science Council. But that would have been a one-shot deal. This was going to be $25 million a year or something like that to the arts. So was that money wasted?
Well, I think the ballot language is what kills them, and that's what some of the supporters were saying is, you know, they would love it if they could say, do you support the arts, parks, and education? And people would have said yes, but by state law, it had to just say, do you want your sales tax raised? And
do you think people went into the voting booth and saw that, completely unaware that there was going to be this issue on the ballot, and they went, uh-uh, because they didn't know what it was? Or did they go in there knowing what it was and still said, uh-uh?
I think probably both. I mean, I do think that there were, it was interesting, the Mecklenburg County, you know, has become increasingly Democratic. We've talked about this on the show a lot in recent elections. But when this, when these returns came in, it kind of like some of the returns kind of snapped back to what we've used to seeing historically, where areas in South Charlotte, for instance, that have usually voted for Republicans were against the tax. You know, so it, it kind of, and the areas that supported it were really strong Democratic areas. So I do think there were probably some people who had no idea, but then there were a lot of people who just said, this is too, there are too many unknowns. I've quite, you know.
Yeah, I think that was part of it, is that it, where they were not locked in. And whether or not you agreed, there were people who knew what the priorities were and disagreed, and there were people who were concerned that it was just a blank check.
County Commissioner Susan Harden, who voted for this on County Commission and was on our program that we did prior to the vote, when we had both representatives of those who were for and against this, she says that the vague wording of the referendum put their campaign at a disadvantage.
We knew that the ballot language was very unfriendly. I mean, we're a big community. In order for you to overcome the ballot language, you have to educate people. And no matter what the issue is, we know from our research on this, people start at no.
Yeah, and Matthew Ridenhour, who is a former county commissioner, who was kind of spearheaded the opposition to this, and it was also on our community forum here at Spirit Square before, prior to the vote, Matthew Ridenhour said the vote was not a referendum on the arts.
It was really more of a vote against public dollars going to a private organization, the Arts and Science Council, to be distributed in some sort of undetermined at this point manner. And I think a lot of people just sort of questioned that and wondered why they would support something with so many question marks.
You think that's it? I mean, there, that's certainly one issue, but the other issues is there's no promise, no guarantee, as Pat Cotham, County Commissioner Pat Cotham, said many, many times, no guarantee that the money would actually go to that or wouldn't be taken away from that in the future. The vague wording is part of it. The fact that there's no mechanism, there was no mechanism to dole out that money from the Arts and Science Council's point of view once they, if they got a yes vote. Which do you think played the bigger role in people saying no? Is there any way to know that?
Right, it's really hard. I mean, and I think just the fact that with that question, you had you listed so many pretty good possibilities that like it gives you a kind of a hint of why it lost by such a big margin. You know, the ballot language, like Ann said, is really hard. But, you know, having said that, there have been some North Carolina counties that have passed a quarter cent sales tax with the same language, so it's not impossible.
So the Arts and Science Council, prior to the vote, was described as being in crisis in terms of funding. What happens now? If they're in crisis, what happens?
So at the election party last night that the pro-tax people held, I asked George Dunlap, he's the county commission chair who sits on the ASC board. I said, right, what happens next? Do we go to the general fund with the next budget cycle and try and get the ASC more money? And, you know, he kind of said, well, we don't have to do, you know, he kind of downplayed. He's like, well, we don't have to do this right now. But, you know, I think that that probably will be part of the conversation in early 2020. You know, one more thing, going back to this previous budget in this year in 2019 when the county raised the property tax and they increased funding for so many programs, that was a time the ASC could have gotten more money and it would have been really hardly noticed or talked about.
I have to move on because we have other races to cover here, but one of the other negatives perhaps in this was the fact that some people, including myself, thought the advertising for this was a little disingenuous. They focused on parks and greenways and education field trips, which I don't know that they were ever in danger. Did we ever find that out?
Well, and I was saying on our last Friday show that I was basically badgering Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools to tell us more. And they put out something. They sent it to me on Monday afternoon. And it is a little flyer. And they have to be very careful not to say vote yes or no. But they said, you know, they talked about the money for teachers and staff. But then they said, in partnership with the Arts and Science Council, revenue from the sales tax would be used to increase public school field trips for CMS students.
Okay.
So they're not saying there are none.
So they didn't leg it out exactly honestly, and they also de-emphasized the arts in most of their advertising. And to me, that's disingenuous because most of the money was going to go to the arts. But they also ran a two-page spread in the Charlotte Observer on Sunday. The left-hand page was all of the people voting yes, supporting yes, many prominent people, but at least two people that we know of were on that list who claimed to be unaware that their names were on that list. And one of them, a reporter for WCNC, NBC Charlotte, Michelle Bowden, says she's not supporting the arts. She's not supporting that. She's a reporter. She doesn't take a stand on it, but her name was on the list. Was that an oversight or is that duplicitous?
I think that's an oversight because okay. you had hundreds of names, right?
Yeah.
We wouldn't have noticed tiny names.
I looked for mine. I couldn't find it. The entire city council was on various ballots. District 6 was the race people were watching because it's an increasingly blue district, but maybe not because Tariq Bukhari seemed to win handily in that district.
He did. And, you know, going back to the arts tax, you talked about that district. In 2018, Matthew Reidenhauer lost his seat to Susan Harden. But the big difference there is he lost, I think, because the county commission is on the ballot in even years. So he was on the same ballot with the midterm elections and the big blue wave. This year, there was no blue wave. There was no big Democratic effort to get out the vote. So Tariq Bukhari's opponent, Gina Navarette, she was kind of on her own. Mm-hmm. And like we talked about, 17% turnout, that's not going to be enough to pull an upset.
Yeah, I think the last vote total I saw was, well, I don't have a vote total. I just know that there are 315,000 registered Democrats, 162,000 registered Republicans, and 244,000 unaffiliated voters in Mecklenburg County. And yet a Republican won there. And in District 7, Ed Driggs, a Republican, was unopposed. So he won in the primary. Well, there was no primary, was there? I guess he had no opposition.
No, he had a primary, won that easily, and then no opponent in the general.
So the at-large seats. What about the at-large seats? Any
so this
surprises
is
there.
I mean, a little bit. This was there was one Republican running, so in theory, one Democrat might not have made it. But that wasn't really. No one really thought that would happen. This was in a way kind of a popularity contest, right? Because we've got four Democrats winning, and they want it's who can finish first. It's all for bragging rights.
And mayor pro tem.
Like if you finish first, you will likely be mayor pro tem. Julie Eisolt finished first, and I think what's interesting about that is I think she was worried about keeping first because she voted for the Republican National Convention that upset a lot of activists, and she, you know, did not do as well in the primary, but in the general election when Republicans and moderates are coming out, pushed her to the top.
And Braxton Winston came in second. James Smudgy Mitchell was third. Dimple Ashmera, all incumbents, by the way. She finished fourth. In District 2, Malcolm Graham won a seat, former state senator.
That's right. He is back. And it's still a 9-2, you know, it'll still be a 9-2 Democratic council. But we will have new faces on there, even though, like you said, all the incumbents won
school at-large seats. School board, Ann. 13 people were running for 3 at-large seats. Board Chair Mary McRae and longtime member Erica Ella Stewart chose not to run. That left, 2 seats open? Where did the third one come from?
Well, the third one is Elise Dashew, who is the chair, or the vice chair of the school board, and was running for a second term and won it. She was the top placer. And again, not terribly surprising. I think incumbents, especially in a big, confusing race like that, tend to do well. You know, there were reasons to be mad at CMS. There were reasons to support Elise Dashew. And it looked like people were not in a throw-the-bums-out kind of mood.
And we have 2 newcomers as a result of yesterday. And they are?
Lenora Shipp, who is a retired principal, very longtime CMS employee. And Jennifer De La Jara, who is a CMS parent, works with International House, talked about helping to bring the voice of the immigrant community into the discussion, and also she was the only candidate from outside Charlotte. She moved to Davidson about a year ago. So,
okay, very short on time here, but Mayor Vi Lyles, of course, is going to have her second term, and we'll talk about that with her in a moment. But there were essentially no Republicans in this field at all. She had opposition, Republican opposition, from a perennial candidate who never campaigns, and he still got about 22% of the vote.
That's right.
Well, what does that say?
Well, and we had talked about on the school board race somebody who put her name on the ballot and then did nothing else. She got like 13,000 votes. So people, I think, I don't know if they like names, if they're eeny, meeny, miny, mowing.
Well, the mayor will join us in a moment. We'll talk about that and many other issues and her goals for this second term, because she's the first mayor to get a second term in about, 10 years? Steve Harrison and Doss Helms, thank you both for being here. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.